AXNN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
The bottom line is something's up.
Now, I realize it's fashionable in some circles to believe that no one in government should encourage others to read the Bible. That we're told that we'll violate the constitutional separation of church and state established by the Founding Fathers in the First Amendment. The First Amendment was not written to protect people and their laws from religious values. It was written to protect those values from government tyranny.
1-1-0. This was in a book for Freemasons. Fictions are necessary to the people, and the truth becomes deadly to those who are not strong enough to contemplate it in all its brilliance. In fact, what can there be in common between the vile multitude and sublime wisdom? The truth must be kept secret, and the masses need a teaching proportional to their imperfect reason.
Broadcasting live from a bunker high atop Mount Hood.
It's all heading towards a fascist totalitarian state.
It's radio that's delivering the truth.
AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
See, the problem is they don't get to determine what is right and wrong in the process. It's all done by the central government.
And here's Paul Preston and Agenda 21 Radio.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism, one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, are you that exceptional American? I suspect you are. That's why you're listening to this radio show. A lot of things going on. We're going to be covering again the shooting death of another police officer in Alabama, Mobile, Alabama, at the hands of perhaps another illegal foreign national. We're certainly covering what's going on in Nevada, the death of four individuals, and clearly it looks like they're investigating another illegal foreign national in the murder of those individuals. We'll find out a little bit more here in a second. But we're also going to be, what is going on with that shutdown? In 30 days, what does that mean? We're going to talk a little bit about that in the next end of this hour and into the next hour. Will there be massive layoffs in the federal government? Riffing or something like that. It's kind of a funny little term. We're going to try and explain that to you. I'm kind of familiar with that, being a former school superintendent. So layoffs, and all the things that go along with that, those are things that might be happening in the federal government. Is Donald Trump playing the big game of you're fired with an entire government? The Trump trap. That's what a lot of people are looking at. And also, what about Nancy Pelosi? Man, she's a mess. You know, as one of my friends said, she's just a mess. So anyway, with that, though, we're going to talk about something that's taking real house cleaning to another level. And, of course, that's the use of the Constitution to form a new state. And we're seeing it here in California, in New California. And now, all of a sudden, as we brought to you on Friday, today is going to be the birthday, if you will, the Independence Day for a new state called New Nevada. And with us is Robert Thomas, the president of the New Nevada State Movement. And Bob, listen, big day for you guys out there in Nevada.
It's a big day, but I'm a chairman. I'm not a president.
Oh, okay. Well, I know how that goes. You'll soon be the president as it goes corporately.
Yes, this is a big day. It has dawned beautiful, clear, bright. I mean, it's very clear that God himself has smiled on today's activities.
Well, tell us a little bit about what you're going to do. It's going to be at the 11 o'clock hour in the court area of Pahrump, Nevada. Is that correct?
Yes. Our courthouse is ground level, so there are no courthouse steps as there are in the older buildings in California. But still, we're going there. We're going to have an easy up set up with a sign-up table. We'll be running an amp so that people can hear us, especially if the wind comes up, because that's predicted. We'll be wearing our yellow vests. We've got Dane and Debbie and I have T-shirts with a logo on it. We haven't had a chance yet to get a banner, but so we'll take the Gadsden flag with us and display that. And I will read, after welcoming everybody to be present, I will read our Declaration of Independence. And I think it's going to excite people because it refers back to the Constitution. It refers back to what we have lost since 1967. And it will promise a restoration of the republic that our national constitution gives to each state.
Now, I want to... a couple of things. I know that when we did our Declaration of Independence, we had great discussion in our meetings that led up to this, that people were concerned that we were a part of the breakaway movement of Calexit. And you remember, that's a secessionist movement. And like you, you're forming a new state within the state of the United States of America. And that's a real distinction that a lot of people don't really totally understand. Secessionist movements for new statehood are different. They're actually called state splits, not secessionist movement, because secessionist implies that you're going to leave the nation, much as the Confederacy did. That's not the case here. It's a complete reverse of the Confederacy.
Yes, it is. And that's why even as New California did, we will be affirming our allegiance to the national government, to the United States. I enjoy being an American. And as a result of that, I'm not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize the formation of an additional state. And as I had mentioned to you last night in the telephone call that we had, I've put my Nikes on and I'm going to sprint to the finish line and try to be the 51st state and give you some competition.
Okay, well, we'll see how that works out.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, the other thing is that I have a great tutor, and it's you, and it's going to be enhanced when Dane and Debbie and I attend the convention that you have set up for Saturday. And, of course, we urge everyone within the sound of our voices, even if they have to fly into the Sacramento area, to come and take a look and see what we're doing. The old, the young, especially students. Students don't today learn what the Constitution really says, and I think they'll get an eye-opening education if they come this weekend.
Yeah, it's you know, it's the only act in town. I was kind of alluding to that in the last hour, and I do talk about this, you know, consistently, that we are the only constitutional convention in town and have been. Now, this is our third one. And this is, you know, we're taking it slowly. We're going to have several more of these until we get to the big one. And the big one is going to be one of those that, just like everybody else, when you envision it, they spend a week in a building and everybody throws things at each other and conferences and things like that. I think that we're going to have that, but we're trying to do as much groundwork now as we possibly can as we build our Constitution. And, you know, ultimately what we're doing in terms of how we're handling our committees and things like that, the county committees in particular, growing the whole organization, which is starting to grow quite frankly. It's growing very quickly. And what happened with us last year, we had a limited number of counties that had come on board. There's 58 counties in California. We had a limited number at the time. We started out with 4, then it went to 6, and then it went to 9, and then it went to 18. And we knew that we had to call for a Declaration of Independence at 18. And I think we had 22 counties on board at the time. Took a long time to get there. You've got 15 counties, and you've got numerous counties on board right now with committees that are forming. Isn't that correct?
That is correct. And because I expect the Nevada version of a deep state to be opposing us, I'm not giving away who or where or
sure.
what because I want these committees to grow in peace.
Right.
And at the right time, we'll talk about who and where and that sort of thing.
Yeah, and you know, for people don't know, or maybe some people don't know that quite clearly in New California, and you see what we had to go through. But we purposely have kept everybody under wraps because the deep state was working very hard to destroy New California. It's as they still are, and they're going to focus their attention more and more on everybody now, because not just do we have New California and New Nevada, but we also have an active organization in Illinois, very, very active over there, that isn't really seen yet by anybody, but I can tell you it's very active. And now we have one coming up in Hawaii and one in Oregon. And people in New York have been talking to us. So this is something that pretty soon the deep state overall is going to have to come out and really say, wait a minute, what's going on here? Because the people are rising in response to what has been going on.
Yes, we are being greeted with great enthusiasm when I make presentations, either through emails, through phone calls, or in person.
Yeah, that's the thing, is people don't understand. There's like a marketplace for what we're doing. And I guess you can put it that way. We give a lot of hope to people, and I think that so far we haven't disappointed, at least from our end, and it sounds like the same thing's happening with you.
That's correct. We have not disappointed anybody with what we're doing. There's obviously the skepticism, and anybody who wishes to follow in our footsteps needs to be prepared for not only skepticism, but the hard questions. How are you going to do this? Why are you doing this? What do you hope to gain by doing this? What's it going to look like once you have it set? And there has been a little resistance when I say that on a particular issue that the county commission committees will decide that issue. I'm not a dictator top down. We're here for liberty, and allowing others to choose what the current government will not let them choose is essential to each of our expressions of liberty.
That's right. That's exactly right. And people won't, I think in the early days, as we're finding out, people don't understand how the startup process, you know, gets going. I think you understand what you're doing right now is the startup process, and pretty soon you're going to give way to all the county committees, and you're going to have your legislature, and things are going to start kind of going on their own. And that's the point we want to get to. We're getting there. It just takes time. It takes time, and for the skeptics out there, when you get past your first or second convention, all of a sudden there's the skeptics are on board with us, and we are finding out really from what we're seeing, a lot of people coming on board with us all throughout the state and the United States, and well, soon with you, as soon as you come out today. So the activities begin 10:30-ish type of stuff?
Yeah, we're going to be there by 10 o'clock. We're going to start organization and make it a rally about 10:30. And then at 11 o'clock, we're going to convene our rally officially. And then at that point, welcome individuals to join us. And this is what we're doing. And I'll publish the Declaration of Independence from the existing state of Nevada.
Well, and I guess the big question is how is that going to be received by everybody in Nevada? And have you gotten any kind of feelers on that? Have you been in contact with radio shows and that sort of thing to get the word out and then to realize what's happening?
Yes, I have. I will be appearing on Wayne Allen Root's show this afternoon, but we've also had an enthusiastic response from a local radio station that's the host of that is a man named Dwight Lilly, who is very involved politically. And he just cannot believe all that we're doing and how it seems to be unfolding. And as a result, he is the one that has made the videos that we have posted on Facebook Live, or on Facebook, and it's been a Facebook Live kind of thing. He will be doing a Facebook Live on our declaration today. So he has several thousand followers, and they will get a live stream. He will then give us the video link, and we will post that on our Facebook page, which is New Nevada State Movement. And then people will see how we're doing it, which is different than what all the machinations that you did. But then again, the people of Nevada, while they have the same yearning for liberty, are different, and they have different priorities, but the same ultimate goal.
Yeah, you know, the thing that we're not like in the New California State Movement, we are the resistance to the Californication process. we get what they did out here in California, and you do too. Not just because of the close proximity, but you know, you've migrated to Nevada, and you saw what happened to California, and you've gone to that state, and you're saying it's not going to happen here. you know, which is the liberalization as you're seeing it right now, I guess, and probably in Clark County, Las Vegas, all the antics, the hijinks that are going on there, and you know, Megan Barth, she was so eloquent. And she works with Wayne Allyn Root quite a bit. But she also was the one who exposed the voter fraud that was coming across the border from California by way of buses. They're being bussed in the 2016 election. It was Megan Barth who exposed all that, including the bus drivers and the hotels that they were staying at. This is that they learned, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know this, this is what was going on. California was exporting voters from the city of industry by bus, by the busloads into Clark County to commit voter fraud, open blatant voter fraud. And Megan Barth, who's ReaganBabe.com, that's her website, and she's quite an activist and radio personality. She exposed all that. She came on the show here, and she worked with Linda Payne, the election integrity, that, of course, has gotten national recognition for her efforts. In fact, she's going to be speaking in Grass Valley tonight, of all places, not too very far from tomorrow night. And so I probably will go up there and see Linda. She's done a fantastic job. But imagine they take these buses and they bus them, hundreds of voters going from Los Angeles into Las Vegas to vote. I mean, it's just mind-boggling, but listen, I got to tell you, as you know, Bob, this has been going on in Southern California for years, and now all of a sudden they just spread the wealth. That's real Californication right there, and I know that that's something that everybody should be appalled at and should be stopped, and will certainly be stopped in New California, and I know it's stopped going to be stopped with New Nevada.
Yes, it will. Because our Constitution, as I envision it, is going to expressly say that in order to register to vote and to vote at any particular election, the voter has to have a valid government-issued photo ID.
Yeah, and because it's just, you know, it's just something that really can't happen any longer. I mean, we will lose our republic, period. End of subject. It's a no-brainer if we allow this to go on anymore, especially out here in California. Is over. You know, like I was telling the audience at the very beginning of the first hour, California is a dead state. It's over now. I think everybody pretty much sees that and agrees with it. The government here is completely corrupted from top to bottom. And give it another 6 more months, and economically it's going to collapse. We know that. But we've just said it's over, so now it's time to form New California as the same as what you're seeing over there in New Nevada.
Yes, and, you know, there's good news and bad news in all of that. And I want to encourage those who are government employees and retirees that the naysayers are going to say, people like me who have a PERS retirement are going to lose their retirement. Well, I don't think so. I think the negotiation that we're going to do when we divide assets and liabilities in creating a new state is going to actually strengthen the retiree program. And whereas CalPERS right now is clearly underfunded, I think New CalPERS is going to be properly funded.
Yeah, you know, the thing is that people don't understand how that whole thing works out. But, you know, we have to do this to preserve the retirements in California, because if we don't, we'll lose all that, too, because that's going to be the number one target that these people go after is the retirement system in California. It's kind of like the federal government going broke and going after Social Security, which, of course, they do anyway. But little is it known that California does the same thing, especially with the state teachers' retirement system. They do it all the time. That's one of the ways in which they've been balancing their budget, and that's going to end, of course. But that's just sort of the strange way things are happening. So you guys are going to make the trek to California this weekend and bring some people with you and attend the convention, the third convention for New California State. Which is going to be quite a convention, because our work product at the end is going to be some documentation that we're actually going to forward to the president.
Yes, I think that this is an exciting time for everyone who loves liberty. And we had an interesting discussion yesterday with the representative of the Epoch Times as I was explaining the difference between freedom and liberty. And what we all yearn for is liberty, and people term it freedom, just like they say our country is a democracy.
Right.
It's really not a correct use of terms. And so I preach liberty wherever I go, and that strikes a very responsive chord.
And give us a 30-second liberty speech.
Well, it's very simple. Here in Nevada, it's an open carry state, and it's also a shall issue as it deals with concealed weapons permits. And I'm a carrier. And as a result, if you stop and think about it, if I meet somebody on the street that I don't like, I have the freedom to choose to shoot the person if I'm willing to suffer the consequence. But liberty is freedom plus morality, which means I do not do anything that will harm my neighbor, that I will, as Jesus said, love my neighbor as myself. Well, if that's the case, then the reason I'm armed is to protect the innocent and the downtrodden and my family. And liberty is a much higher plane or higher form of freedom, because freedom has no morality at all. Liberty is very moral and does no harm to its neighbor. Does that make sense?
Sure. No, it's brilliant. And that's very, very true. You know, that's the absolute truth. That's what people don't understand about the difference between liberty and freedom. is what you just explained, and he did a very, very good job of that, because clearly the situation that we have today is we have a lot of freedom and democracy. That's when we really are calling for having a republic and liberty. The two should be synonymous, liberty and republic, as opposed to freedom and liberty.
Well, that's true. And if you take a look at what our founding fathers had to say, they regarded a democracy as a complete anathema to them, because it is chaos. James Madison said, "Democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention, have ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property, and have in general been as short in their lives as they have been violent in their deaths." We take a look at the results of Reynolds versus Sims, and we find we have turbulence and contention. We have lowered personal security, and the government right now does not recognize the property rights of so many people. And we do not want our republic to die a violent death. So we are standing with our founding fathers. You know, John Adams said, "There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide." And he also said, "Remember, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself." Well, you take a look at what's going on in the chaos within current California, which is a democracy, and it's absolutely insane. It's crazy. And it's violent.
Right, and getting more violent.
And, and getting more violent. You know, and when I was, you know, in law enforcement, obviously I carried, for my own protection and the protection of those around me. But really, although an armed society is a polite society, who wants their kids growing up in an environment of the Hatfields and McCoys? No one does. And that's what the current government in California has given you, and that's what the current government in Nevada is trying to give us.
Yeah, they're just following that Californication for democracy. You know, that is what is happening to Nevada and a lot of other states as well. And even in Texas, you know, this is something that's been brought up for years, that they've seen these kind of things happening. So we, you know, yes. Stop the Democracy Express. In fact, we don't say the word democracy so liberally like you're hearing it now on all the news sources and every place else.
Yeah, well, I'm very disappointed that one of the best newscasters on Fox, Tucker Carlson, keeps using democracy and not republic. I wish I could talk to him face to face and say, "Excuse me, let's use the right term."
Well, you know, that's that, of course, is the problem with the news and the mainstream media. I went on somewhat of a tirade this morning about the mainstream media. We have to. It's like the California state government of California. It's just a failed condition. It's a failed state. It's a failed media. Completely failed. Why listen to them? They're irrelevant. And when they're spouting off things about democracy and encouraging more democracy, you know, it's basically seeding us with destruction when they do that. And that's why we have to push back now. And it's movements like this that are making people aware, just like your conversation with the reporter about the difference between freedom and liberty, which is a concept. Even freedom is a concept in some places of the world that they can't wrap their arms around. Just like the founding fathers realized when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, that word independence was a word that had not been used in a general sense in the world ever since that it was that document that brought that word independence into prominence. And all of a sudden people realize, well, you know, there is something different than dependency and always being, you know, under the thumb of the king or the, you know, the religious leaders.
Well, if you take a look at the history of mankind, when, you know, I think God wired all of our hearts to love personal liberty. But rebellions against kings or Caesars so that people have personal liberty, if they were successful, they became the same kind of dictatorship that they were rebelling against.
Right.
And our American experiment was different in that our founding fathers knew history, and they said, we are going to protect the general public against all forms of tyranny, whether it's a king, a Caesar, a dictator, or the majority of it in a democracy. Because in a democracy, there's no morality. It is the ultimate expression of Darwin's survival of the fittest. And there's no desire to protect the downtrodden. And yet, that's the compassion that Americans have for those who are poor and weak. We take care of them. You know, it was interesting in one of President Trump's recent speeches, he talked about how many minors have crossed the border and at our expense been rushed to hospitals to be treated. And unfortunately, recently, you know, there were the two deaths, and the news media totally ignored the compassion and the work that our doctors and nurses went through to save the other several hundred children. Totally ignored for a political gain.
Yeah, we seem to be showing a lot of that on the other side. The Democrats seem to be showing a lot of that kind of non-compassion in the media. That's why I say the media is irrelevant, because again, it's just, you know, if you're the same thing for a legislature or for a government, if the government is ignoring the truth, then what good is the government? And if the media is ignoring the truth, what good is the media? Same thing.
Well, I find it very interesting in recent history that the German people believed Joseph Goebbels, and when the Allied troops made the German civil populace walk through the concentration camps such as Auschwitz, the people were in tears. They had no idea, because they believed the government. And to think that the government is not going to lie to you, we now know the Bay of Tonkin resolution was based upon a non-event. And we've seen the government lie through, as you discussed last hour, with Robert Mueller's investigation. There's no there there.
There's no there there, yeah.
And yeah, so what we're looking to do is shine the light of truth in government. Now, one of the details you haven't covered, and there's no reason to cover, is because as part of a governmental culture in California, there is a civil grand jury. And that civil grand jury investigates how the government runs. And they make recommendations when they find that there are inefficiencies or problems with how the government functions. You cannot believe the governmental institutional resistance here to the thought of a civil grand jury that does government watchdog investigations. It's such a good old boy network here that people just faint when they when that kind of scrutiny is suggested. Well, I think the new Nevada state is going to bring light to government operations, and we're going to end up with better, less expensive government operations that is far more transparent to the public than what we have now.
Yeah. And, you know, the thing that, a lot of people don't understand is as movements like these take root, and this is really, New California is the first one that's really been successful at this point in time of since 1861 for a new state. You're second, no, you're number two that's obviously rolling it out today. People are starting to catch on to the Constitution itself, and they're realizing the suppression by the media of the Constitution, plus the, you know, they got other things going on as well. So, you know, it's kind of interesting to see how this is all going to play out, but as more and more people get educated about the strength and the power of the Constitution and what they have to do, especially those that are sworn, as you know, those people are going to feel a lot more empowered that they have to do the right thing, which is what we're doing right now. There's no question about it. So listen, Bob, we got about 30 seconds. Tell us again where you're going to be at 11 o'clock and when people should show up.
At 11 o'clock, we're going to be at the Nye County Courthouse on Basin Street here in Pahrump, Nevada. And we'll be set up. We'll be glad to take volunteers and anybody who wants to travel here from any place, because we've got some people coming over from
yep.
Clark County, which is Las Vegas. And if they happen to have a yellow vest, bring your yellow vest.
Okay.
We are going to have those out.
Okay. Listen, Bob, we got to run for time. Thanks for being with us on Agenda 21 Radio. Good luck today.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay. Anyway, we'll be back. You're listening to Agenda 21 Radio.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. Thanks to your support, you've helped make MyPillow become one of the fastest-growing companies in America. Over the last 12 years, you've helped MyPillow create thousands of jobs right here in the USA. Every MyPillow is made with passion here in my home state of Minnesota to ensure you get the best sleep of your life.
I've never slept better in my life. What's better than a great night's sleep?
Sleep is one of the most important things to your health, and MyPillow is one of the most important things to your sleep.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
I tried every pillow from expensive down pillows that just went flat to fiber-fill pillows that rebound every time you move your head. I even tried those memory foam pillows, and the curve did not match my neck, and it probably won't match yours. That's why I invented MyPillow. My patented fill adjusts to your exact individual needs and helps keep your neck supported and aligned.
MyPillow lasts 10 years, is machine washable and dryable, and comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee.
I personally guarantee MyPillow will be the most comfortable pillow you'll ever own or your money back.
Call or go to MyPillow.com now, and Mike will give you two MyPillow premiums for one low price. Use the promo code, and you'll also receive free shipping. That's two MyPillow premiums for one low price.
With our 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose.
Sleep well, America!
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715, and use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Do you have a treasure box of coins, jewelry, silverware? Ever wonder if they have any value? We offer friendly, free, fair appraisals and pay cash on the spot.
Bring them to your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion, by the 10th Street Bridge. Always buying and selling gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, U.S. and foreign coins, sterling silverware, placer gold.
It's a great time to make some extra cash and invest in bullion, junk silver, gold and silver ingots, eagles and maple leaves. We specialize in all precious metals. And for you coin collectors,
and for those just starting,
we have a wide selection of type coins and currency. We're PCGS and NGC affiliated, so swing by your local coin shop, Yuba City Coin and Bullion.
438 Colusa Highway by the 10th Street Bridge. Friendly service, fair prices. Yuba City Coin and Bullion. 755 Coin.
We're also a nation of laws. That's part of our tradition.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Just a short time ago, I had the honor of presiding over the swearing-in of five new great American citizens. It was a beautiful ceremony and a moving reminder of our nation's proud history of welcoming legal immigrants from all over the world into our national family. I told them that the beauty and majesty of citizenship is that it draws no distinctions of race or class or faith or gender or background. All Americans, whether first generation or 10th generation, are bound together in love and loyalty, friendship and affection. We are all equal. We are one team and one people proudly saluting one great American flag. We believe in a safe and lawful system of immigration, one that upholds our laws, our traditions, and our most cherished values. Unfortunately, our immigration system has been badly broken for a very long time. Over the decades, many presidents and many lawmakers have come and gone, and no real progress has been made on immigration. We are now living with the consequences, and they are tragic, brought about by decades of political stalemate, partisan gridlock, and national neglect. There is a humanitarian and security crisis on our southern border that requires urgent action. Thousands of children are being exploited by ruthless coyotes and vicious cartels and gangs. One in three women is sexually assaulted on the dangerous journey north. In fact, many loving mothers give their young daughters birth control pills for the long journey up to the United States because they know they may be raped or sexually accosted or assaulted. Nearly 50 migrants a day are being referred for urgent medical care. Vast quantities of lethal narcotics are flooding through our border and into our communities, including meth, cocaine, heroin, and fentanyl. Drugs kill 78,000 Americans a year and cost our society in excess of $700 billion. Heroin alone kills 300 Americans a week, 90% of which comes across our southern border. We can stop heroin. Illegal immigration reduces wages and strains public services. The lack of border control provides a gateway, a very wide and open gateway, for criminals and gang members to enter the United States, including the criminal aliens who murdered a brave California police officer only a day after Christmas. I've gotten to know and love angel moms, dads, and family who lost loved ones to people illegally in our country. I want this to end. It's got to end now. These are not talking points. These are the heartbreaking realities that are hurting innocent, precious human beings every single day on both sides of the border. As a candidate for president, I promised I would fix this crisis, and I intend to keep that promise one way or the other. Our immigration system should be the subject of pride, not a source of shame, as it is all over the world. Our immigration system should be the envy of the world, not a symbol of disunity and dysfunction. The good news is these problems can all be solved, but only if we have the political courage to do what is just and what is right. Both sides in Washington must simply come together, listen to each other, put down their armor, build trust, reach across the aisle, and find solutions. It is time to reclaim our future from the extreme voices who fear compromise and demand open borders, which means drugs pouring in, human trafficking, and a lot of crime. That is why I am here today to break the logjam and provide Congress with a path forward to end the government shutdown and solve the crisis on the southern border. If we are successful in this effort, we will then have the best chance in a very long time at real bipartisan immigration reform. And it won't stop here. It will keep going until we do it all. The proposal I will outline today is based on, first and foremost, on input from our border agents and Homeland Security professionals. And professionals they are. They know what they're doing. It is a compassionate response to the ongoing tragedy on our southern border. In recent weeks, we have met with large numbers of Democrat lawmakers to hear their ideas and suggestions. By incorporating the priorities of rank-and-file Democrats in our plan, we hope they will offer their enthusiastic support, and I think many will. This is a common-sense compromise both parties should embrace. The radical left can never control our borders. I will never let it happen. Walls are not immoral. In fact, they are the opposite of immoral because they will save many lives and stop drugs from pouring into our country. Our plan includes the following: $800 million in urgent humanitarian assistance, $805 million for drug detection technology to help secure our ports of entry, an additional 2,750 border agents and law enforcement professionals, 75 new immigration judge teams to reduce the court backlog of, believe it or not, almost 900,000 cases. However, the whole concept of having lengthy trials for anyone who sets one foot in our country unlawfully must be changed by Congress. It is unsustainable. It is ridiculous. Few places in the world would even consider such an impossible nightmare. Our plan includes critical measures to protect migrant children from exploitation and abuse. This includes a new system to allow Central American minors to apply for asylum in their home countries and reform to promote family reunification for unaccompanied children, thousands of whom wind up on our border doorstep. To physically secure our border, the plan includes $5.7 billion for a strategic deployment of physical barriers, or a wall. This is not a 2,000-mile concrete structure from sea to sea. These are steel barriers in high-priority locations. Much of the border is already protected by natural barriers such as mountains and water. We already have many miles of barrier, including 115 miles that we are currently building or under contract It will be done quickly. Our request will add another 230 miles this year in the areas our border agents most urgently need. It will have an unbelievable impact. If we build a powerful and fully designed see-through steel barrier on our southern border, the crime rate and drug problem in our country would be quickly and greatly reduced. Some say it could be cut in half. Because these criminals, drug smugglers, gangs, and traffickers do not stop at our border. They permeate throughout our country, and they end up in some places where you'd least expect them. They go all over our country. A steel barrier will help us stop illegal immigration while safely directing commerce to our lawful ports of entry. Many of these security ideas have been proposed by Democrats themselves, and all of them have been supported by Democrats in the past, including a physical barrier wall or fence. Furthermore, in order to build the trust and goodwill necessary to begin real immigration reform, there are two more elements to my plan. Number one is 3 years of legislative relief for 700,000 DACA recipients brought here unlawfully by their parents at a young age many years ago. This extension will give them access to work permits, Social Security numbers, and protection from deportation, most importantly. Secondly, our proposal provides a 3-year extension of temporary protected status, or TPS. This means that 300,000 immigrants whose protected status is facing expiration will now have 3 more years of certainty so that Congress can work on a larger immigration deal, which everybody wants, Republicans and Democrats. And our farmers and vineyards won't be affected because lawful and regulated entry into our country will be easy and consistent. That is our plan. Border security, DACA, TPS, and many other things. Straightforward, fair, reasonable, and common sense.
And turned down by Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. And turned down before he made this speech on Saturday. I know I wanted to play as much as possible because I know a lot of our listeners don't necessarily have the access to these kind of speeches and stuff from the president because the national media doesn't necessarily carry all this stuff, but they do listen to our show. So I really wanted to get as much of it out there as possible. He concludes his presentation here in a couple of minutes, but you get the gist of it. Basically, what the president is doing is giving them everything, and they're turning it down. Now, what does that tell you? If he's giving them everything they want on this deal, and they're still turning it down, can only tell you one thing. They want to be in charge, in control of the government. That's really what they're saying here. No. We're in charge. You're going to do as I say, Mr. President. Yeah, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and those on the left that are trying to, well, continue on with a coup d'etat of Donald Trump and his presidency. That's what's happening here. That's the reality check. A coup d'etat of the presidency. And, you know, it's not going to work. It's not working now. It won't work in the future. And, you know, I just have to say that I'm very, very proud of what the president has tried to do here. But I do want to say that he's giving everybody rope. Everybody rope. And at the same time, it looks like, and we'll be talking about this in the next hour, is he draining the swamp some more? The big question. Anyway, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, agenda21radio.news or a21r.com. And, of course, newcaliforniastate.com, State of the Future. Stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.